Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is October 22nd, 2016. And before we go any further, let me say this. Boo. Because I won't be able to say it. I won't be able to do Halloween till after Halloween. So I've got to scare you now. So boo, 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 boo. All right? Happy Halloween. Have fun. No razor blades, please. No pins and apples. Keep it clean. All wrapped up candy. Make your kids safe. Check your candy and all that kind of stuff. Okay. We got lots going on. A lot is happening. You know, we're winding down to the final days of an election. Everybody's concerned, interested, apprehensive, whatever you want to call it. Okay. I know I am. I believe we're on the balance of liberty and something else. And I don't want that something else. So, but anyway, ladies and gentlemen, because of all these things that happen, I have my opinions and I meditate upon them. And this is like no other week, no different than any other week. I have an opinion piece. I'm going to read it to you now. And I've called this one Clicks of Commonality. Is that a word? I think it is, right? Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, clicks. They've been around from the beginning of time, and especially since you were born. We all have been in cliques and resented them, you know, resented some for not being hip enough to be able to join those certain cliques. Well, you know me, I'm a stickler for definitions, so let's be clear here to as what type of clique I'm talking about. Now, if you ask somebody with a compass, they'd probably say 3 degrees of the bezel ring is a clique. If you asked an infantry soldier, he'd probably say 1,000 meters. If you asked an outcast child in a school playground, he would point his finger at the group over there that wants nothing to do with him. And that's the type of clique I'm talking about today. There are cliques of personalities, cliques of sports, cliques of business people, cliques of people in power. Let me now give you the formal definition of a clique spelled C-L-I-Q-U-E, clique. It's a noun. A clique is a small group of people with shared interests or other features in common who spend time together and do not readily allow others to join them. Now, if you're in a personality clique and I'm not in it, guess what? You're lost. If you're not in a sports clique, or if you are in a sports clique and I'm not, guess what? No sweat off my back. If you're in a business clique that I like and I'm not in it, oh, too bad for me, I guess. I'd like to be in it, learn some skills and information to, you know, do better in business. But if you're in a power clique, and in a power clique, I mean government, and you're making backdoor deals for sordid gain, well then, we need to shed some light on what you do, don't we? Now, ladies and gentlemen, every election for president is a power struggle between the people who want the most power. They don't want you to win it, or they don't want you in it. The powers that be manipulate everything you hear and see. You'll see something with your own two eyes, and the media will say you didn't. You will hear things that you know are wrong, but again, you will be told that you misunderstood the information. The people that the powers that be feel intimidated by are the ones they attack vehemently. Look at our two candidates for president. One wants to keep the same business as usual. And that's great music on it. And one wants to rout out that which is causing problems. Guess who is getting hit with everything but the kitchen sink? I'll let you figure that one out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this country's survival depends on unity, not cliques. Remember that when you place your vote, government as usual doesn't work. I want a great America, don't you? And ladies and gentlemen, that's my opinion. If you're opposed to my opinion, or if you're in favor of it, let me know. Give me a call here. The number at the studio here is 254-697-6633. You can email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or just go to the website aaronsgunshop.com. But give us a call here at the studio, 254-697-6633. A lot going on and a lot of things we can talk about. Let's officially start the show here with the show highlights. In today's License to Carry segment, I'm going to be giving you a speed course on the license to carry or home defense or anything making it necessary to use a handgun by using a deck of cards. It's an extremely good way to train. Deck of cards, playing cards. The NRA section, I think, is pretty cool today because I found a February 1962 issue of the American Rifleman. And on page 25, there was the Armed Citizens column. And I didn't realize it was that old. So we're gonna read some stories from there. You're going to notice a difference in things that you hear back then as compared to today. Today's PEP section will go over five catchphrases that I came up with to help you remember important things when it comes to shooting a handgun. Now, if you want to wince because of the dorkiness of it, stay tuned. Our topic of interest section, sponsored by WRBSales.com, will again be the Harp holster. I can't keep this one on the shelf, so I'm going to talk about it some more. Everyone seems to like this thing, so I'm going to just give you some more details about it and tell you some other things that you can do with it. Another sponsor, ANC Firearms, is sponsoring our product spotlight, and today's product spotlight will be the Taurus Curve in 380. This is a neat and interesting concealment pistol. You're going to like it a lot, so stand by for that one. After that is my gun training demo. I won't really be demoing a gun here, but applying acronyms to our training to help us manipulate our guns in times of trouble. Now, some time ago, I did a whole big section on acronyms. We're going to chop it down to just a few here that are very pertinent when it comes to handling a handgun. And, of course, we have our very own voice of law enforcement, Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon, giving us his experience and wisdom in the ways of law, protection, preparedness, self-defense, and a whole bunch more. And finally today, I have a WTF moment that we've got to talk about. And you know what, Trey? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to do the WTF moment now. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be prepared for something here. Be prepared to take calls. Hopefully people will call on this. Ladies and gentlemen, I read this WTF. Actually, my son forwarded it to me. I saw it. I read it and I go, this is ridiculous. This is baloney. So I'm going to read it to you. And I would please like you to give me a call and give me your opinion. The number here is 254-697-6633. This is going to be the WTF moment, the what the F moment. And I've got to shuffle through my papers here because I didn't plan on doing this. And here it is. All right. This is from Austin Police Department. Teen stabbed mother's boyfriend at South Austin home. Here we go. Police say a teen stabbed his mother's boyfriend Friday night after a domestic dispute between the couple. According to the arrest affidavit, Brandon Tribendis, 17, is charged with aggravated assault, family violence, a first-degree felony. It happened around 9 p.m. at a home in the 6300 block on Smith Oak Trail. Court documents say Tribendis' mother and her boyfriend had gotten into an argument after he came home intoxicated. During the argument, Tribendis' mother said, maybe I should just shoot myself. Her boyfriend responded saying, I'll just take care of it. He grabbed a shotgun and the two struggled with it, and that's when Tribendis came to her aid. Court documents say the man choked both of them during the fight, but Tribendis' brother was able to grab the shotgun and hide it. Tribendis, along with his mother and brother, attempted to leave in a vehicle, but the boyfriend began assaulting Tribendis' mother and his brother. According to the arrest affidavit, when the man was assaulting Tribendis' brother in the passenger seat of the vehicle, Tribendis came up behind him and stabbed him multiple times in the back. The man staggered to the house and collapsed. He was transported to a local hospital with critical life-threatening injuries. Court documents say Tribendis used unreasonable force on the stabbing victim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of that sentence, I put a very big, bold, italicized WTF. What the F? Austin is weird, and the people who charged Tribendis with unreasonable force had their heads up their you-know-whats. Now, what I would like, ladies and gentlemen, after you heard this story, 254-697-6633, was Tribendis justified, or did he indeed, in your opinion, use unreasonable force to stop the man from potentially shooting his mother with a shotgun, strangling them, beating the brother? You tell me. 254-697-6633. 3-3. Okay. Moving on. We're going to go to our LTC segment now. And remember, I told you we're going to be doing a deck of cards here. And ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take that long to figure out if he was using unreasonable force or he's justified. I mean, it's like, what? It's either that guy was wrong or he's right. 254-697-6633. License to carry. Speed course using a deck of cards. Lots of electronics have thorough manuals as to how to operate that piece of equipment. They also usually have a quick reference card or a quick setup procedure card. Well, in the world of license to carry, I, your host, have come up with the same thing when it comes to license to carry. At the end of my class, to make it clear and to make it stick, I use a deck of cards. Well, today, for you listeners, I'm going to do the same thing now. When you're safe and secure with minimal worry of aggression towards you, you can take all the time in the world to study the law and penal code. But when you're on the street or have a home invasion, you will not be thinking law or penal code. You will be thinking survival. So it is extremely necessary to streamline that which you need to know to survive a threat. Much of surviving is prevention. Past prevention is threat as justifiable force, and that comes, excuse me, and after that comes the use of reasonable and necessary force and deadly force. It is imperative that you have a quick step process to get you where you need to be, both physically and mentally, if a threat ever arises. Trying to figure it out when it happens will put you in a position of weakness. Being in a position of weakness is never good for a law-abiding person. So now, let's talk about this concept of teaching you using a deck of cards. What can we do to possibly stop a threat from happening? I'll tell you what, Trey, I need to bring you in on this conversation if you're good to go with that. You're always good for some answers. And what can we do to possibly stop a threat from happening? But before you answer that, let me ask you this. I'll tell you what. I'm pulling out a deck of cards right now. I got to set this up properly. Trey, you can tell me what you see here.
All right.
See the ace of card, right?
See the ace of spades.
What do you believe that is in this example? It's the what up my sleeve.
The ace up your sleeve?
Is that gun, right?
Right.
What's that card?
Ace of clubs.
That's my backup, okay? Now, you see all these here? What are those? What do we call those in a deck of cards?
Face cards.
Face cards, picture cards, okay? I'm taking them all out. The whole objective here is to not use my handgun, right? So I'm going to put those handguns up my sleeve because I don't really want to use them. But now, the question comes back again. What can we do to possibly stop a threat from happening? Give me some examples.
Yeah, let's see. You can be prepared.
All right, be prepared. We're going to throw down one of the picture cards and say one of the picture cards is just being prepared. I'll come up with one. How about the verbal command to stop? Stop, don't do that. That could be another picture card in the deck of cards of keeping me away from having to use my ace card. You got anything else?
Yeah, pay attention to your environment so you're not in the situation.
Pay attention, be aware of your things, okay? That's another picture card. We're going to throw it down. I'll come up with one. Scream, make noise. That's another picture card in the deck of cards that we're throwing down and we can't use anymore. What's something really easy we could do?
Talk. Be able to communicate.
Call 911. Okay.
Talk to whatever, try to de-escalate the situation.
Well, those are two different ones. Call 911, and then we'll say nonverbal dispute resolution, okay? Or nonviolent dispute resolution. That's another picture card that goes down. Then maybe how about threat as justifiable force, penal code 904. That's another picture card that goes away. We could run away. Another picture card. How about a tape of barking dogs? Home invasion. Boom.
Misdirection, huh?
And then we have a tool of opportunity. Can you name some tools of opportunity?
A chair.
Chair. Baseball cap.
Having allies with you, friends with you can help.
Defense of a third person. Ladies and gentlemen, I had about 10 picture cards in my hand. I'm out of picture cards. Each picture card represented something I could do to potentially get away from the potential threat. I'm out of picture cards. What card comes out next? That card. my ace card. What's the trick? The trick is buy yourself a pinochle deck, because pinochle decks have more picture cards. And what that means is the more picture cards you have, the more things you have up your sleeve to possibly do before, God forbid, you have to pull up your ace of spade or your ace of club, which is your backup, your main gun or your backup gun.
Well, heck, everybody likes choices, and the more choices you have, the safer you can be. The more options you have, the safer you can be.
That's right. This kind of goes like back last week when I was giving you the list of 10 plus the two bonuses for where you can't go. When you break it down like this and you say, oh, I get it. You know, when I'm in that situation, I don't have to worry about if my address is correct and have it done in 30 days. I don't have to worry about, you know, if I'm over 21 or if I'm a legal resident of the state of Texas. I've got to worry about surviving. And if I can break down my thought process into picture cards and say, hey, the ace card's my gun, but I never want to use that, but I'm going to try and put all these different picture cards in front of me. If I run out, then I'm forced to use it, then so be it. But the thing is, train, get yourself mentally, physically, spiritually prepared, and if something ever happens, go step by step or keep the threat away from you as far as possible before you have to use the gun for self-defense. We don't want to do that. Only if we have to. Okay, the number here is 254-697-6633. I asked you whether or not the story from Tribendous stabbing his mother's boyfriend from preventing him from strangling or shooting with a shotgun, was it justifiable or was it unreasonable for us? 254-697-6633. Give me a call. Moving on to the NRA section. In this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the, actually, we got one, two, three, four, five stories from the NRA's Armed Citizens page, the American Rifleman. And hopefully from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. It depends on the story. But now listen, if you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one, because the more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. And I'm pretty stoked about this one because, like I said, it's a 1962 February issue of the American Rifleman, and there it was on page 25, the Armed Citizens column. But it's interesting because the types of guns they use and the situations that happen, it's just a little different. So I'm going to read to you those five stories. And Trey, if you can help me, we can do on-the-spot analysis of these stories. All right, story number one. After being forced to hand over money, open his narcotics cabinet, and lie on the floor of his Harlem, New York drugstore by two bandits, one with a .32 caliber revolver, Jane Norman Clooney took a .32 caliber revolver from a drawer as the thieves left. When he called to them to stop, one fled and the other gunman spun around. Clooney killed him with a bullet in the head. What do you think about that story, Trey? From all the stories I've read, and now we read this one from 1962, do you notice any differences?
Well, the first thing is that he waited until after they had robbed him and was leaving. And that he also shot the dude in the head.
That was one of the first things I noticed. I was kind of concerned about him shooting after they left, but he just called their name or something, and they turned around, and that gave an appearance of a threat, so he took care of it. The other thing was, we're not using 9mm, 12 gauges. We're using a .32 cal. That's the gun of the day back then, right? The other thing was, in all the stories that I've read, or a majority of the stories that I read, everybody gets shot in the lower part of the body because of their lack of training anticipating the shot. This guy turns around, gets his gun, calls the guy, and caps him in the head.
With a .32 at range.
There you go. Yeah. So what does that tell you? I guess we shot a lot more back then when ammo was cheaper, I guess.
All right. He needs to buy a lottery ticket.
Story number two. On the pretext of seeking a lost wallet, a robber entered the office in the Columbus, Ohio theater where Dominic Seriano was a manager. Once inside, the bandit drew a .32 caliber automatic, threatened to kill Seriano, and beat him about the face with a gun. Seriano struggled with the holdup man, whose gun discharged, frightening him. Seriano obtained a caliber .22 automatic pistol from a drawer and ran from the office. When the bandit appeared moments later with the receipts, Seriano dropped him with bullets in the head and neck. What's your initial thoughts there, Trey?
That this is from back then, too?
Back then, too.
Yeah, they were less interested in shooting to stop and more interested in shooting to kill. Because, I mean, that's the second story in a row where it's shots to the head and neck.
Head and neck, and it was a .22 that did it. So don't tell me a .22 is not capable of taking somebody down. Although I wouldn't want a .22 automatic for self-defense because of the potential of malfunction, but it will hurt you, man. It will definitely do bad things to you. Story number three. Noises coming from the third floor of the Chicago, Illinois apartment building where he is a janitor alarms Stanley Slozar and his wife, Harriet. Slozar went to investigate. Hearing shouts, Mrs. Slozar obtained a pistol and ran to find two men slashing at Slozar with knives. She killed one with a bullet in the back. What's your thought on that one, Trey?
Well, she shot him in the back. He must have been running.
I think she just didn't give a damn. Said, you're going down no matter what. You're hurting my husband, so on and so forth. But woman goes and grabs her gun, comes out, don't mess with it, deal's over. I'm sure her husband's proud. Next story. Miss Johnny Mae Williams carries a caliber .22 pistol on her nightly trips home with receipts from the San Antonio, Texas cafe where she is employed. Two men began following her one night as she left after midnight with the receipts in a jar. One gripped her from behind and told the other to grab everything she has. Before he could act, Miss Williams drew her pistol, reached behind her, and shot her attacker in the stomach. The other man was later jailed. Trey, thoughts?
She was ready.
She turned around, being aggressed upon, grabbed their weapon, and still shot above the waistline. Pretty darn good. With a .22. All right, last story here.
Well, she was Texan, though.
That's true, yes.
Can't forget that.
I'm not going to say give her a blue star or give her a gold star. We'll just say give her a lone star.
There you go. Yeah.
After frustrating a first attempt at robbing his house, his Houston, Texas drugstore, R.P. Christensen bought a caliber .38 revolver and began carrying it about his store. The pistol was in his hand when the same man who had made the earlier holdup attempt, an ex-convict, returned with the gun in hand. The gunman shot at Christensen from a distance of only 3 feet and missed. Christensen killed him with a shot in the head. I love it. I do. I love it.
Yeah, I just 3 feet.
Three feet and you miss. Now, look, I've had people who are not very familiar with firearms, familiar with them at all, okay? And if you don't know what you're doing, there's a good potential you can shoot pretty bad.
Right.
Well, when you're under duress and adrenaline, I'm sure it compounds the problem. So at that distance, things can happen.
It's just
fortunate enough for the person that he was trying to kill. But a shot to the head. Very good for the 38. And it must have been at the end of the year. Actually, it was February. Because we went up from a .32 and a .22 to a .38. So I guess as the years go by, we'll start getting 44 mags, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right. You know what that tells me?
What?
It's not who shoots first that matters. It's who shoots last.
Good point. Or who shoots straight. All right, here's what we're going to do. Let's take a break, Trey. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be going over our pep section. And got a lot of things to go there. We're going to go over some catchphrases when we come back. See you on the other side.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories. And whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. Industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557.
Such a good song. I hate to turn it off. Welcome back, everybody. The Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 22nd, 2016. We're still here live. Thank you, Lord. And I read that story about the teen who stabbed his mother's boyfriend in the South Austin home. Ladies and gentlemen, give me a call. 254-697-6633. Was he justified or not? Should be... Well, I'm not going to say this is the way it should be, but darn, in my opinion, this guy... Well, I want to hear your opinion. Give me a call. 254-697-6633. Here we are in our pep section. Get your pens and paper ready. Practice being prepared to eliminate panic, okay? It's either practice eliminates panic or preparedness eliminates panic. So practice being prepared to eliminate panic. Now, a little later in the show, I'll be talking about acronyms and how they can help you to remember things. Well, in today's pep section, I'm going to give you five catchphrases that I, your host, have come up with so that they stay floating in your head and memory to increase, you know, in case you need to call on them if the situation arises. They're kind of dorky. I won't deny that, but they do work. You're laughing at me, Trey. Hey, dorkiness works. So grab pen and paper and write these down. It may just be that dorky little catchphrase that saves your life. All right, I'm going to read them and then I'm going to describe them. Dorky catchphrase number one. When in the fight, keep your line of sight. When in the fight, keep your line of sight. Number two. I said these are dorky. The gist is in the wrist. The gist is in the wrist. This, I sound like I'm the French Resistance, you know, where they're speaking out those phrases to tell you... unit what they're going to do.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea phrase and stuff.
All right, number three. The finger rolls in trigger control. The finger rolls in trigger control. Number four. There needs to be a calm in the palm. There needs to be a calm in the palm. And number five. What I don't need is a double feed. What I don't need is a double feed. The bonus one would be learning these five keeps you alive. Well, it helps anyway. Now let's go back. Number one, when in the fight, keep your line of sight. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're in the fight, the last thing you want to do is take your eyes off the threat. Even if you're taking cover, know where the threat is. Make sure you can identify and locate where they are. Because what happens if you're in some type of fight and you have to take cover and you take your eyes off the threat and then you go to find the threat again, they're gone. Well, where are they? Did they run away? Are they circling around? Are they behind you? So when you're in the fight, keep your line of sight. What I really meant for that was when the gun is in your hand, okay, I'm doing this on video right now, checking my weapon, it's empty, it's clear. If I have the weapon in my shooting hand, I want the weapon between me and my threat, the line of sight. Wherever I'm looking, the gun should be there. If I'm looking at the threat, but my gun's pointed off in a different direction, that takes more time for me to reacquisition the gun in the proper line of sight. However, if wherever I turn, the gun turns with me in my line of sight, if I see something, it's right there, I can take the shot. You ever seen these TV shows where the detective's got the gun pointing up to the ceiling and he's looking around the corner, and if he sees something, what does he have to do? He's got to come back from around the corner, get the gun ready, turn around, get ready to take the shot, and the person that he just saw them and are going to move if they're not stupid. And so when the detective turns the corner again, the guy is probably gone. So if we're turning the corner, we're slicing that pie, and we're in our line of sight is our weapon. So gosh, God forbid, if we see something, we have to take the shot. There it is. So when in the fight, keep your line of sight. Keep the weapon in your line of sight. We also talk about that when we're doing mag changes, when we're indexing the weapon. If I'm out of ammo or something, the gun is tilted a little bit, I'm indexing it with my dominant eye, so the muzzle of the weapon is in the line of sight of my dominant eye. I reload the weapon, and the gun can come back into play into my line of sight. So when in the fight, keep your line of sight. Number two, the gist is in the wrist. Now, what I mean by that is, if you're self-defense shooting, you will not have time to aim the gun. You will not have time to use your pretty little lasers, okay? So you're going to be point shooting. And by point shooting is what I mean is you're looking at the threat. The gun is properly placed in your hand. You line it up with your line of sight up to the threat, and you pull the trigger. However, when you learn to point shoot, and let's use an example of the silhouette targets. If you're there at a range, let's say 7 yards, and you're hitting the center of the target, that's great, but you may be hitting the center of the target high, high in the center or low. If you're not hitting the center of the target where you want it to go, and it has a tendency to hit high or hit low, that's where the gist is in the wrist. All you have to do is calibrate your wrist on its angle up or down and get your brain to remember the positioning of your hand so that when the gun comes out and you shoot, you'll always be point shooting where you're looking at. So the gist in the wrist means you need to shoot a little bit to calibrate your wrist in the proper angle it needs to be with the handgun that you have so that your shots not only hit on the center line of the target, but they also hit center mass. Number three, the finger rolls in trigger control. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I love the 1911. The 1911 is king when it comes to guns, handguns, because it's battle proven and the trigger's incredible. The trigger has, I don't know, man. Let me see here. Let me try to calibrate how much of a trigger pull it's got. Probably an eighth of an inch before it goes off. If you think of a Beretta 92 or a Smith & Wesson double action revolver, you think about all the length of trigger pull you got to do on those guns before it'll fire. Well, what's happening is because your finger is taking such a long travel time, it starts to get in different positions, which causes different pulling directions on the gun. On a 1911, once I set my trigger finger on the trigger, all I do is pull it back gently, straight back, and it's done. As compared to on these other double action types of guns, I've got to pull the trigger real long. So the finger rolls in trigger control means as the trigger is coming back, I'm almost kind of adjusting my finger as I go. Instead of just curling it all the way into my palm, I'm going to kind of like roll the finger so that the trigger is being pulled straight back. That one's a hard one to visualize over the radio verbally. You need to take a course from me. We'd go over all this stuff. Check it out. Come to the shop. Whatever. But we've got a course on the 5th of November, home invasion, personal defense course. And we also have a license to carry class on the 12th, which is the following Saturday. So those are both posted on the website. You can give us a call here, or you can check out the website, aaronsgunshop.com, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. So the finger rolls and trigger control, that was a little bit more difficult to explain. Number four, there needs to be a calm in the palm. I liken this to a political handshake. Firm, but not aggressive. If you hold the weapon too tightly in your hand, it starts to tremble. If you hold it too loose, you have limp wrist, limp hand, and you're going to have a malfunction because the energy of the gun is being stolen by your improper holding of the gun if it's too loose. So there's this happy medium. It's the political handshake. Firm, but not aggressive. So there needs to be a calm in the palm. Don't grab the gun so hard to the point where it starts to tremble and shake. And you, if you had to aim the weapon, it's kind of difficult to do because it's just vibrating in your hands, okay? So calm it down. Get the proper gun that has the proper grip for your hand, because remember in a show some time ago, I talked about innies and outies. Our palms are either flat or they have an inward depression. And depending on the shape of the gun, the handle of the gun, the heel of the gun, it either fits in the palm of your hand or it doesn't. What we might do later on, Trey, if we got a little bit of time, maybe we'll find that video and we'll pull it up. It's probably about a 3-5 minute video talking about proper grip of the gun. So stand by for that one. Excuse me. Okay, now, number five. What I don't need is a double feed. Now, how does that help me? It helps me because the last thing I want is a double feed. And if I understand that I don't want a double feed, and I understand what could potentially cause a double feed or what actually happens with a double feed, I might be able to do things in my training and in my use of that gun at that particular moment that will eliminate or minimize any chance for a double feed. You never know when a double feed is going to happen, but there are some things that you can apply, like proper grip, magazines improper, good ammo, clean gun, all these different things to help reduce the chance of a double feed. So always remember, a double feed is very bad. Now, if you have a stovepipe or something like that, that's a pretty quick malfunction to clear. But a double feed, I can't tell you how many people I see when they try to clear a double feed, take their eyes off the threat, have parts laying all over the place because they're trying to clear the weapon, and they're dead by the time they get it together because it took them so long to do it. You must know your gun. You must master your gun. You must become one with your gun. Understand how it works so that when a malfunction happens, you can get that gun back up and running without looking at it and maintaining your look on the threat and getting the gun back up to shoot as quickly as possible. Okay? And remember the bonus one. Learning these five helps keep you alive. Now, they're dorky, but they work. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close that segment up, let the pep section on the five catchphrases to help keep you alive. Give us a call, 254-697-6633, and we'll get you on the air. Ask your verdict on whether Tribendus here was justified in stabbing his mother's boyfriend because he was trying to shoot him with a shotgun and all this kind of stuff. So give us a call, 254-697-6633, and we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about our topic of interest, sponsored by WRBSales.com. Please, ladies and gentlemen, check them out. Sponsors the show, keeps it up and running. Without sponsors, the show doesn't happen. And if anybody out there is listening, wants to become a sponsor, we can do that too. Please give us a call. You can always use the sponsors, and love to promote your business. So we'll see you on the other side.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories. And whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-472 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 22nd, 2016. And we are now in our topic of interest section. And we're going to talk again about the Harp holster from WRBSales.com. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, this radio show does not stay on the air without support from people like WRBSales.com, ANC Firearms, and whoever else contributes. If you know anybody who's interested, or any business out there that wants to sponsor this program, give us a call. We'll love to have you on the air and talk about your business. Now, a call came in saying there's confusion about my name. Well, let me clarify that. My business name is Aaron's Gun Shop. It's Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps. It's all sorts of things. My name is Matt, M-A-T-T. My son... I lost a son, and his name was Aaron, so I named the business after him. And whenever somebody calls me Aaron, I don't mind a bit, okay? Doesn't bother me a bit. So you can call me pretty much anything you want. What's the old expression? Just don't call me late for dinner. But that's the deal. My name is Matt, but I'll go by Aaron's without a problem. Okay, the WRBsales.com heart holster. Ladies and gentlemen, I designed this holster, and I've talked about this a couple times before, and WRBsales.com makes them for me. Now, the original concept idea was for the new Texas open carry law so you could carry your AR pistols in the open. The HARP stands for holster, AR pistol. I keep selling out for that purpose, but you can use the HARP for other things too. Now, let me explain. The AR rifle is a rifle, and you can carry that without any problems, open carry, okay, as long as it's not in a threatening manner. The AR pistol is just that. It's a pistol. So you cannot carry it like an AR rifle, although you'd love to do so. There are special ways you have to do it. It has to be in a shoulder or a hip holster for you to carry it out in the open. Well, I haven't seen too many shoulder holsters that can handle an AR pistol. And I haven't actually, to be honest with you, seen too many hip holsters that can do the same thing. So voila, I come up with the idea, the HARP holster. You put it on your belt, you open up the flaps, you strap your AR pistol around your shoulder, and you put it in your belt holster HARP. Velcro it down, and you're legal. You're good to go. And I keep selling out for that particular reason because people are buying it. Now, you can use it for other things too. Like I said, if you're carrying a rifle and you don't want it bouncing around on you, it'll hold it securely to your body. It allows you free use of your hands for your knife, your pistol, your flashlight, your phone, etc. Now, you can also use it to cinch down equipment, hold things together, make a makeshift tourniquet, blindfold, or a mouth gag, or whatever. You know, it's pretty versatile in what you can use it for. However, it works great for its intended purpose. I'm constantly using things beyond their intended purpose. I'm always thinking outside the box. Now, if you go to Aaron's Gun Shop, if you go to Aaron's Gun Shop channel on YouTube, you can pull up, or actually go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the products page. aaronsgunshop.com, go to the products page, and you'll see me promoting a demo of the HARP holster and how it works. And you'll see it's pretty good. I get lots of comments and emails stating that, you know, it's simple in its design, yet effective in how it works. Now, the HARP is adjustable in size as well. So if you have optics, flashlight, or offset sights that make the gun a little thicker or wider than normal, the HARP can adjust for that. Now, if you go to, again, aaronsgunshop.com and go to the products page, they're going to be $25. We've got them in stock now, and they go pretty quick. So if you understand the concept, or if you don't, like I said, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the products page, check out the video, and you can go to the down below the video there, and you can buy one, and we'll have it sent out to you, okay? But the HARP holster from WRB Sales, make sure you go check out their website, wrbsales.com. They've got tons and tons of firearm accessories. They got rifle bags, pistol bags, ammo pouches, specially made for special gun types of pouches and holsters. They got inside the pants holsters. They got trickster holsters. They got special forces holsters. Anything you can basically think of, they've got it. And I'm having him work on another new design. And if it goes well, I'll be promoting that soon in the future. So wrbsales.com. Sponsors the show. We're very happy about them. Help them out. They help us out. Okay? Moving on. I want to talk to you about our product spotlight from another sponsor, ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. My good friend Arnch Kutz from ANC Firearms, been around for quite a while there, doing business, selling guns, making people happy. He usually can get pretty much what you're looking for, and if he can't, he'll get it sooner or later somehow. This guy's got an incredible network of people that he deals with, and he can pretty much get you what you want as long as it's legal. But in this particular spotlight, we're going to talk about the Taurus Curve. His phone number, ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417, the Taurus Curve. This is a pretty neat little gun. And like I do in all the product spotlights, I try to find somebody else's opinion before I start giving mine. And I know that's contrary to me, but I just think it's best for you to hear somebody else's opinion, then I'll follow up with it. But I took an article from, this is from, where the heck is this from? GunsandAmmo.com by Patrick Sweeney. And it's about the Curves Are Good Taurus Curve review. It's going to be talking about the Taurus Curve. I want to read bits and pieces from the article. The Taurus Curve pistol is a compact 380 that, when I first saw it, provoked one of those forehead-smacking moments of, why didn't I think of that? All those years of sweating the details on pistol contours and holster shapes to tuck a pistol in tighter, and here it was, a pistol that was bent. The frame housing of the Taurus Curve is arched in a way that allows it to hug the contours of a right-handed person. Sorry, Southpaws, you'll have to wait. That is, the left side grip area is dished in so the right side bulges out a bit. The effect is subtle and might pass unnoticed until you pick it up. This arch not only allows the pistol to tuck into your body when it's carried, the grip also tucks into your hand when you hold it. This isn't the only thing Taurus worked on. The entire pistol, frame, and slide is heavily melted. Every would-be corner is radiused. And as far as potential hand-cutting edges are concerned, it is more like a black bar of soap than a pistol. The magazine catch is a paired button set on either side of the magazine, which extends up into the grip area. This means you have to pinch the magazine with your left hand to remove it. There's no mag button. But if you're expecting to be doing speed loads on a pocket 380, I really have to wonder about your expectations of an armed encounter, which is true. If you can't handle it in 6 or 7 rounds, take cover, because you probably got a lot of gunfire coming your way. The frame has non-slip panels on the front and back of the grip area, but the sides and most of the frame are a matte finish polymer. The frame also has a couple of dished-in areas, one on the left side obviously meant for your thumb, and one on the right side in front of the trigger guard meant for your trigger finger to index. The trigger finger recess is quite a ways forward, and if your finger won't reach, don't worry. There's plenty of room for your finger to be away from the trigger. Now, on the left rear of the frame, there is an access slot where you can read the serial number of the actual receiver, not the polymer shell that encloses it. The trigger is linked to a double action only hammer and the receiver. Now, last week, if you remember, we had three types of action: single action, double action only. This one here is a double action only hammer and the receiver. You have a fairly long but not heavy trigger pull, and that's why I kind of like the curve. This is Matt speaking, or Aaron, whatever you want to call me. The trigger pull is very vital for me. The curve, it's smooth and it breaks easy, so I was happy with that on that gun. You have a fairly long but not heavy trigger pull, then it falls onto the... So if you have a dud, more likely the lack of a round in the... You'll have to work a slide to recock it. And I agree with him when he's about to... Any pistol to have a recheck, as my reaction click when I expected a loud noise is to work the slide and get a more likely candidate for ignition into the batter's box. Meaning, get that round out and put a fresh round in. The Curve does have a magazine safety, so if you lose track of both of the two magazines, it becomes a small polymer-clad club. Magazine disconnect. Now, the result is a compact, easy-to-carry 380... One that is comfortable to shoot, which makes the Taurus Curve one attractive pistol. As a carry gun, I can see a right-handed shooter snapping it up wholesale. It tucks nicely into the curve behind your hip. It isn't as good as the appendix position, but it certainly works just fine there. It is also very comfortable in a cross-draw location, again, where the curve of the Taurus Curve matches your body. What really intrigues me is the potential as an ankle carry pistol, and I got to agree with that one too, because the way it's shaped and your leg is shaped. There, the curve of the pistol matches my legs so well that I found myself wondering if tourists had been following me, photographing my ankles. As soon as there is an ankle holster for the curve, and what you want to probably do is go to wrbsales.com and check it out, or call them up and say, hey, I got a curve, I need a holster, blah, blah, blah. This may be the ultimate backup hot weather 380. Until then, it will simply have to be very comfortable to shoot compact 380 with a unique shape. Now, while other pistol makers adopt a similar design for their compact pistols, will they? If they do, they'll have to pay Taurus for the privilege, as Taurus thought so highly of the idea that the U.S. Patent Office approved it. Just one more clever step in the production of a very clever pistol. And here's some data on it. The type is a locked breech pistol, 380 auto. Capacity is a 6+1. Height is 3¾ inches. Length, 5⅛ inches. Barrel length is 2¾ inches. The width is only 7/8 of an inch long. They're wide. Weight is 14 ounces. Black oxide and polymer action only. No re-strike on the trigger. Sights, no sights. 3-line cross on the slide, which is pretty cool. 6-pound trigger pull. Check it out. ANC Firearms. I've had a bunch of these. I've gotten rid of them. I only got one left. But check out ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417, and talk to Arch and see if he can square you away. And we thank a program. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to sponsor the program, give us a call, 254-697-6633. And we love it. With that, tell you what, Trey, let's go ahead and take a long break. And when we come back, we're going to get the chief on, our very own voice of law enforcement. So let's see you on the other side.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 22nd, 2016. I'd like to give a few announcements here first before we move on to the voice of law enforcement. November 19th, that's Saturday, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, the San Gabriel Christian Church is going to have their Christmas in San Gabriel. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Vendors, door prizes, baked goods for sale, and they're going to have a gun raffle. It's a chance for the community to enjoy some pre-Christmas shopping, right? So I'm going to give you a contact number. and name, if you're a vendor who would like to participate in that, or mark it down in your calendars to show up to that event. Once again, let me, it was going to be the San Gabriel Christian Church. November 19th is the event, and they're having their Christmas in San Gabriel. And once again, there's vendors, door prizes, baked goods, gun raffle, a whole bunch more. But if you want to become a vendor for that event, you can got to do it by November 7th. And you can call or text Mary at 512-517-3990. Again, that's Mary at 512-517-3990. That's by November 7th, the vendor's got to call in. Spaces are $35 each. And the money's due by November 7th. So give Mary a text and let them know that you're interested, and I'm sure she'll respond back to you pretty quick. Okay, also, on November 5th, we have our Home Invasion Self-Defense Training Seminar. Go to AaronsGunShop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page. You can click on there and send me an email that you're wanting to participate, and we can get you squared away there. All the details are on that page. Also, November 12th, which is a Saturday at 2 o'clock, we're going to have our License to Carry class. Again, you can go to AaronsGunShop.com, and you can go to
Mother's Children
LTC page and sign up for that class as well. If you have any questions, feel free to give me an email at AaronsGunShop@gmail.com. Give us a call here, 254-697-6633 at the studio, and we'll get your name and number and all that. Okay. Now, I've got the chief here, and I was talking to chief about this WTF article. I'm going to read it again. And I guess we're going to get some interesting commentary from the chief here. So this was from the Austin Police Department. Teen stabbed mother's boyfriend at South Austin home. Police say a teen stabbed his mother's boyfriend Friday night after a domestic dispute between the couple. According to the arrest affidavit, Brandon Tribendis, 17, is charged with aggravated assault, family violence, a first-degree felony. It happened at around 9 p.m. at the home in Smith Oak Trail. Court documents say Tribendis' mother and her boyfriend had gotten into an argument after he came home intoxicated. During the argument, Tribendis' mother said, "Maybe I should just shoot myself." Her boyfriend responded saying, "I'll just take care of it." He grabbed a shotgun and the two struggled with it, and that's when Tribendis' came to her aid. Court documents say the man choked both of them during the fight, but Tribendis' brother was able to grab the shotgun and hide it. Tribendis, along with his mother and brother, attempted to leave in a vehicle, but the boyfriend began assaulting Tribendis' mother and his brother. According to the arrest affidavit, when the man was arresting Tribendis' brother in the passenger seat, assaulting Tribendis' brother in the passenger seat of the vehicle, Tribendis came up behind him and stabbed him multiple times in the back. The man staggered to the house and collapsed. He was transported to a local hospital with critical life-threatening injuries. Court documents say Tribendis used unreasonable force on stabbing the victim. I'm going to shut up there. And Chief, let me introduce you real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon, our very own voice of law enforcement, a plethora of information, wisdom, and experience. And without further ado, Chief, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning to everybody. I hope you're having a great Saturday, a nice cool morning out. That's an interesting article. You know, when you look at it, it's pretty much a clear definition of what self-defense is and protection of a third party. One of the problems you've got many times is that the interpretation is there on how much is too much force, what too much force is, and unfortunately that's going to be up to a court to determine that. In all honesty, if that happened here, for instance, we probably would do the exact same thing as far as the filing of the charges. However, with that being said, that doesn't mean that a person is going to be convicted of that. That's up to a judge and a jury, a reasonable doubt as to what a person would do, and that's the way the system works. But and that's the way it's supposed to work. I do think that probably if I was on that jury, just strictly speaking in my opinion here, and I knew that my mother was being assaulted and a guy had a shotgun on her and I had some kind of a weapon to defend her, I'd probably do anything possible to defend myself and my mother.
Let me ask something, Chief. You know, a lot of times an officer comes to a scene and can make the determination, you know, I don't have to go any further with this. Obviously, they have to because an injury happened.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But can't that person see clearly that this was self-defense and to put them through this challenge of unreasonable force makes this person who's defending themselves I just find it very awkward to go through all this.
The awkward part is, and I agree with you there, Matt, one of the problems you've got, though, and it's not a problem, it's the way the system is supposed to work. You know, if an officer goes out and in his determination, and we have this happen every single day, you know, people call us for something, this, that, or the other, and there is a reason something was done, or in our opinion, there's not enough evidence that purports the idea that it was a clear-cut violation of law. If we don't file something, if we don't go ahead and do the paperwork that brings it to our district attorney or to a jury, then many times we're the ones that are caught in the middle and we get blamed for doing it. And we get blamed for not doing our job the way it should be done. It puts us in a precarious position.
It just seems like it should be held on a paused status before the documents are actually filled out, and then the person has to defend themselves against all this stuff. Why can't it be paused and determine whether or not there's reasonable information to now go ahead and continue further?
In all actuality, that does happen, unless there's something like this where you have someone that's in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. On a situation where you've got someone that's been seriously injured, you almost have to do something as far as either filing the charges right away. Now, my idea here, in this, especially in this situation, when you've got witnesses. Now, a lot's going to depend if you've got a witness or some witnesses who aren't part of the family. You know, someone who is independent, has no stake in the claim whatsoever. If they corroborate whatever you say or that person says as far as defense is concerned, self-defense, then you can take the time on it. And I don't want second guess. I'll never second guess another law enforcement agency. It's not my job to do that. I just think that sometimes you are right. We need to sit back and we need to get all the evidence gathered before we go forward and file the charges. I guess, and that's for anything. I don't know what charge it is.
I guess why I'm asking on this particular story is because there was so much information in this article that if they got the information for this article, they got it from the source. The source should have had the same info. And if I'm saying, it's just like if somebody breaks in my home, what's the difference? I'm going to be left alone. I'm going to be not charged, most likely. Okay. But this one just seemed contrary to that. They're at their home and there's evidence to show that this person has been attacked, so on and so forth. It's very WTF-ish to me.
It is. And that is a very difficult, very, very difficult situation to put not only the family through, the officers through, but it's a determination that many of the district or county attorney has to make. In this case, the district attorney, because of the severity of the injuries. And I wouldn't want to be in their shoes because one of the things we look at here is when you arrest someone and you take their liberties away from you, number one, you're giving them a record they have to live with the rest of their lives. You owe it to those people to be before you ever place them in custody, before you ever do anything, you owe it to the people that are going to be the suspects or defendants in this case to make sure you've got your job done right. Make sure you've investigated 100% fully. You know, a lot of times officers are criticized for not acting quickly enough. Well, folks, expediency is not always the best way to go.
Well, I totally understand and respect what you said. You got to respond quickly, but I think responding in a paused manner sometimes helps for the reason you just said. But that's my opinion too.
Right.
And I know officers. I'm not even criticizing the officers. Not at all. It says the court system documents. It just rubbed me wrong. Anyway, Chief. You got the floor. Take it away. Tell us what you got.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone, again, and I hope you all have had a great week. I know that last night our yeomen back, they rebounded well from their loss last week and did a fine job last night. Got a couple of things I want to talk about before I get into the main crux of what my topic is going to be today. You know, this past week has been an extremely busy week for the police department. And a lot of it has been what I call the minor situation, just takes time to investigate and go through. But number one, I'm going to ask a couple of favors of everybody. You know, we're in the middle of a very difficult, a very heated political situation right now. We've got a lot of people that are taking sides, whether you're Democrat, whether you're Republican or independent. That's your business. It's nobody's business but your own. However, we have some people here in Cameron, and I don't even know who they are, but I have a feeling I know who they are. We've had some reports over here lately, but they're taking different political signs. They're in people's yards, and they're either They're either painting them with some very flowery, colorful language that no one needs to have painted, or they're stealing the signs and dumping them. You know, folks, it's against the law. That is the bottom line, is against the law. You put a sign, you paint a sign up that could basically ask a person to do things they can't do to themselves, and you put it on their front porch, number one, you're trespassing. I know that if we have information, if we get enough credible information on who's taking the signs, who's defacing the signs, the criminal mischief, we're going to file charges against those people. Leave the people's signs alone in their yard. That is their right. That is your right to be able to express yourself, how you feel about any political situation. That's what we do in this country. That's why we have the electoral process. So, folks, help me out here. If you see somebody messing in people's yards with signs, or if you see somebody defacing them, or if your grandkids or your kids are doing it, explain to them the seriousness of it, because it is something that's serious. Enough about that, though. And like I said, we have 3 weeks to go, and I don't know about y'all, but I'll sure be glad when it's over with, and we can make a determination of who's going to lead our country, or lack thereof. Another thing that I want to talk about today is the National DEA, Cameron PD, Drug Take Back Day. Up until 2 o'clock today, if you have any old medications, if you have any outdated medications that you want to get rid of, if you'll pull in front of the Cameron Police Department located at 605 West 4th, there are two of our communication personnel sitting out there, an officer sitting out there. They'll be happy to take the medications off your hands. We put them into a bin. The Drug Enforcement Administration will be coming down Monday, picking them up, and they take them to Houston, and they have them incinerated. They're a proper way to dispose of drugs. Don't dump them down the toilet. Don't dump them down the sink. What you're doing is you're polluting the water. You're polluting our water that we drink, the water that your grandchildren may be drinking. And it only takes a little bit to taint the system. So we're asking you not to dump them down the toilet. Bring it by. No questions asked. Dump them off at the police department, and we'll dispose of them the correct way. And one other issue that I want to talk about just real briefly before I start talking about something that's, I think, very important right now is the fact that, and this kind of ties together, this past week we've had at least 10 or 15 calls to the police department where individuals have called, usually our older Americans, our senior citizens, and is trying to convince them that they've won money, or that they've, their name was drawn from a hat, or they're with the IRS and we're not here to help you, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If somebody calls you, folks, and offers you something on the phone for money, if it sounds too good to be true, folks, you know it's too good to be true. Most of the time it ends up where they ask you your bank account number or your Social Security number, and I know that we've been warned over and over again, and people think, I'd never do that. Folks, you wouldn't believe how many people, especially some of the citizens that think they're going to get something from nothing, will give up the pertinent information. This comes back to bite you almost invariably every single time. If someone calls you from the IRS, and most of the time they're going to have some type of an accent that's hard to understand, they're not from the IRS, folks. The Internal Revenue Service, or some call the Infernal Revenue Service, whichever you'd like, the IRS only corresponds by mail. They don't do anything over the phone. They don't do anything through teletype or through emails. It's all by mail. So, folks, don't release your personal information to anybody. Hang up on them. If they call back, hang up on them again. They may end up at times losing their temper with you. Hang up on them again. You don't have to talk to anybody on the phone that you don't want to. That's your telephone. You pay for it. Nothing wrong with saying buy, click, and that's it forever. So with those three things being said, folks, I'm going to get into what I'd like to talk about today. And it's really important, I think. You know, I don't know about a lot of you listeners out there right now, but if you're like me, you're getting up into those age groups where your hair is starting to turn a little bit on the gray to white side, and you're starting to be a little bit maybe slower about what you do in life. I think we sometimes call those people senior citizens, and I fall into that group now probably by age. I don't feel like I'm a senior citizen, but I fall into it. Or we're mature adults. You know, seniors are enjoying longer and longer lives, folks. We're having healthier lives, and by the year 2012, it is estimated that 20% of the Texas population will be 60 years of age or older. 20%, that's the baby boomers that are coming up, and we're starting to hit that plateau. Seniors often worry about crime more than anybody else, if you'll know the truth about it, folks. The truth is, seniors are victims of crime less often than younger people, but the effect of crime on seniors is often more severe. It just seems to be. And a lot of times it is more severe because of the age difference that happens and the ability to rebound. Additionally, and think about this for a moment, seniors are faced daily with the problem of elder abuse, fraud, and crimes in convalescent homes. It happens everywhere. It happens on the street. It happens in their nursing centers. It happens in hospitals. Seniors many times are taken advantage of. And the important remembrance to all this is very simple, folks, but so vital in helping yourself be safe. First, always stay alert. You know, be tuned in to your surroundings and don't be taken by surprise. I know that many folks, many people, many times think that their home is their castle. If you've listened to Matt here on this show over the last few months, and most of the time I've ever known the man, he talks about protecting yourself at home. Well, that's the protecting yourself and protecting your home is the key, folks. And I'll be the first to admit, I am a firm and solid believer that you have the right to protect yourself and your home by any means possible, which goes back to a little bit of that article the WTF article that we talked about earlier. I do believe you have a right to protect yourself, but you got to know what you're doing if you're going to do that. You've got to understand how to use a gun. You've got to understand how to use simple things such as crime prevention techniques. And, you know, along those same lines, be aware and be prepared, folks. Be aware and be prepared. You would never, ever go about doing your daily job at your work without being prepared for it. You wouldn't go to a vacation somewhere unless you sat down and thought, what do you need to take? What do I need to do? You know, you've got to be prepared. And then secondly, folks, you got to stand tall. When you go somewhere, walk confidently. Don't show fear. Don't look like a victim. And lastly, trust your instincts. Every one of us has that second or that little feeling we get when something's not right. I don't know about you, but like if I'm coming to work in the mornings, I leave my apartment and I get ready to come down to work and I think, man, I'm forgetting something. What am I forgetting? And I think, it's all right. I get to work and guess what? I forgot something. So I have to make another trip back to the apartment, pick it up, and get ready for work. The same is true with everything you do, folks. Think and use your second little voice in your head to protect yourself. The rules, you know, there's a lot of rules out there about how to protect yourself, but most of these rules develop a crime prevention attitude. And I hate to think, we have to think about it. We have to think, I have got to protect myself. You know, back in the old days, and I refer back to the old days when we never locked our doors, we slept at home with our windows wide open. We never even thought about what was crime prevention. What did we do to protect ourselves? Because we didn't have to worry about those things. Folks, this is 21st century. We have to think about those things today, these things. You know, crime prevention tips are meant to protect you, your possessions, and your income. That's the bottom line. When you're at home, never open the door to strangers. I can't tell you how many times I get called down to the police department and little elderly, older lady says, well, there's this man that came to my door and I opened it up and I didn't know who he is. Well, the first thing is you don't open your door up, period. Find some way to be able to look through the door, get you a peephole, just don't open your door for anybody you don't know. And at nighttime, if you live especially, never open the door. You know, there is a magic three numbers on your telephone, 911. All you got to do is dial that. If you get scared, if you get upset, or if you think you're in fear, call the police department. We don't bite you. We won't bite your head off for calling 911. Now, if you call me and ask me what the weather is going to be tomorrow, that might be a different story. But, you know, if you have a fear about something that's safely, that's what we want you to do. That's why we want you to use it. If someone comes to your door with an emergency, such as it's a traffic accident or an injury, folks, don't let them in your house. Tell them you'll call the police. Tell them you'll call 911 for them. And if they're legitimate, they won't run off. But many times when you see that, when you offer that to them, they'll run away. Here, not too many years ago, to be honest, I was going from here to see my children down in the coastal area, and I was on 485, not too far from Maysfield. On the top of the hill there were a couple of cars that were stopped in the road. And I drove up to them, and one young man a little bit rough looking young man, happened to make the comment. He said, "Can you take me for? Can you take me somewhere? Can you help me? Can you? My car's broke down." Well, folks, when you're by yourself, I don't care if you're a policeman that's 6'7", weighing too much, or with a gun, or whatever you may be, you don't put people in your car that you don't know. I offered to call the sheriff's department for him, and the first thing he did is, "No, I'm okay." He got in his car and he drove off. I was being set up. You don't let people do that to you. You have to plan. You have to understand. Always, always keep your doors locked. You know, have a peephole in the door so you can see who's there without opening. Don't rely on those security chains, those little bitty chains that are that latch on the side of your door. My son, when he was 5 years old, pushed the door open and that chain snapped. That's not security. When you go out, folks, somewhere, when you make sure you're home and make sure you're going to secure your house when you leave as well. You know, nighttime, we think about nighttime being the scariest time. Most crime happens in the daytime when people aren't home. But when you leave at night, you need to have lights on every night. You need to keep your lights on every night. You know, to burn a light, and I've said this before, but people just won't believe me. You know, nighttime security lighting, it's not expensive, folks. To burn a light from dusk till dawn every single night, will only cost you about $1 a month. Now, I know that's $1 a month, but when you think about it, is, say, a front light or a back light for $2 a month, is that too much to expend for your security? I think not. Don't leave your keys under the floor mat or in a flower pot next to your door. Everybody knows about that. Use outdoor lighting, shrubbery, and fencing to help secure your home. You know, if you have an area of your house that's really dark and there's no lights there, plant some rose bushes right up next to the window. Not many burglars, not many thieves, not many people who try to window peep are going to try to deal with rose bushes. You know, it's a matter of common sense, everybody. It's a matter of common sense. You know, if you're offered a deal that sounds too good from someone, trust me, folks, it's too good. We all want to make a dollar. We all want to be comfortable. But there are people out there that are strictly con artists. They're a con artist is someone who's be honest with you, they're smart. They're experts in psychology and human behavior. They really are. But they're smart in a way that we don't want them to be smart. They're smart in a way where they can take advantage of you. They know how to gain your confidence with smooth talk and self-assured manners. You know, high-pressure sales are another play used by many con artists. You can't recognize a con artist by the way someone looks or dresses, folks, but you can be on the alert for con artists and consumer fraud. I don't know about you, but I hate telemarketers. And I know that someone's got to have a job, and that's how they may be paying for their own expenses. But telemarketers are nothing more than it's a common method of stealing from senior citizens and people such as myself and other people who simply don't want to be rude to people when they call you on the telephone. It's taken me a long time. It's taken me a very long time to realize that sometimes you have to be rude to people to get them to leave you alone, especially when it comes to telemarketers. Let me give you some tips also about how to deal with telemarketing. If someone says to you the following on the phone, be wary. It's probably going to be a scam if they're offering you something. Here's some of my favorite lines that I like to say. Someone tells you you've won a free gift, ask them what the free gift is right up hand, and ask them if there's any charge to you. And tell them you're not going to give them any kind of personal information. You're not going to give them a bank account. You must send, you know, a lot of times they'll say, just send us some money, send us some postage and handling, and we'll send it to you. That's just another way they're trying to get to you. You know, if you think that someone's going to try to get to you, they're probably trying to get to you. Use that second sense you have. Use that little voice in the back of your head. You know, and one of the things we ask you to do, folks, is I don't care who it is, if you get a call from someone, be sure and report it to the police department. We keep a record. We keep a very close record of every call that comes in, especially when it comes to fraud. Now, there's not a lot we can do about it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. If you got someone calling from New Jersey trying to defraud someone here to Cameron, Texas, I'm afraid our budget won't let us fly, go to New Jersey to try to figure out who's doing it. You know, now if it's Las Vegas, we might figure something out there. No, just kidding. There's not a week that goes by, not a single solitary week that goes by that we don't have a good senior from here in Cameron call us and tell us that someone's called and tried to defraud them. And think about that. You know, we're a town of 5,500 people. 5,500. And if we're getting it every day, think about the largest cities. Just a couple of quick things. We've had some incidents here lately where I know some of our seniors have really been alarmed, been scared. Some of them have been taking trips to different cities. It's the time of year when it's nice to get out. The air is cool outside. We feel more like doing things. We take trips to maybe Dallas or Austin or Bryan College, Waco Temple to shop out. Make sure your car is in tip-top shape if you're going to do that, folks. Make sure that your car is going to make it. Make sure that you're not going to have any problems with your car. Have it checked out. And above all, make sure that you carry a cell phone with you everywhere you go. We don't want any of our citizens to be suckered out of money by letting someone defraud them on the side of the road, charge them $500 just to get them a tower to change their tire. And we've had a report that one particular repair company charged over $400 to come out and just change a tire for somebody. Once they come out, you're stuck. There's not a lot you can do. And it's not a criminal matter. It becomes a civil matter. Any elderly person can become a victim, but not just elderly folks. Please don't be offended because, you know, at 60 years old, there's times that people consider me elderly. Elderly is just a state of mind. You can be 100 years old, but if your mind is sharp as a tack, you know what's right and what's not right. So become aware of all that. Know the possibilities of people out there. You know, not all people get this kind of treatment, which is great. We have seniors here that have never had any problems at all. You know, but let's help each other. Let's help the ones we know that are. You know, being a true Texan, and I'm very proud of my Texas heritage, but being a true Texan, I think we all live by the motto that we need to help our neighbors. If you don't hear from your elderly friends for several days, pick up the phone and call them. Notice if your friend's house is unusually unkept or if there's newspapers that are piling up on the street. Look for things such as that. Let's check on our neighbors. Let's check on them and make sure they're okay. I know that we've got a gentleman that works for our city that is a caretaker for one of his next-door neighbors that's quite up in years. I believe she's in her 80s. He takes care of her. He watches after her. He calls her daily. Not expecting a penny in return, not expecting a dime in return. It's just being a good Texan is what it's being. So, folks, you know, we have a lot of things that people try to take advantage of each other, but it doesn't have to happen. Just be a good neighbor. Check on your citizens. Call us if you need something. If you haven't heard from your neighbor and you normally hear from your neighbor, let us know and let us know what we're going to do. So with that being said, folks, I hope that maybe some of the things we talked about today have made a little bit of sense to you. I have a real soft spot in my heart for our older Americans, mainly because I'm getting there in a few years. But I have a soft spot for those. And take care of your neighbors. Take care of yourself. Take care of your kids. And be careful and be safe. And I look forward to seeing you next Saturday. And if there's anybody ever has any questions, you can call me here at the radio station. Or call the police department anytime you want. So, with that being said, have a happy, happy week, everybody. And, Matt, I'm going to turn it back over to you now.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories. And whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 256-97-4721. Or email me at aaronsgunshow.com and set up a class or set a code to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aarons@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Look, program note here. We're going to keep the chief on for a little bit, and after I do a couple segments here, we're going to get the chief on talking about Halloween coming up, a lot of important things to know for safety and things that you might think are fun, which are actually illegal. So we'll be talking about that in about 10 minutes, and so stay tuned for that. But right now, let's go over our gun training demo. I told you about, I was going to say, talk to you about three acronyms you should know. I'll tell you what, you don't want to use your mic. I think this one's kind of flaky on me. Okay, three acronyms you should know. Now, there's names out there, way too many for anyone to know them all, but in the gun world, there are three that you better know. The first one is SPORTS. The second is SRT. And the third is STAT. SPORTS, SRT, STAT. First, let me clarify what an acronym is. It's a noun, an abbreviation formed from the initial letters of other words and pronounced as a word in most cases. A good and easy example of this would be NASA. NASA stands for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Every first letter is used in spelling the word NASA. Now, back to the gun world and our three very important acronyms that you should know. The first one is SPORT, and SPORTS stands for slap, pull, observe, release, take aim, squeeze the trigger. SRT is, I'll tell you what, let's go over the first one first, SPORTS. Here I have my trusty little 1911. I'm going to check the mags out. Chamber is clear. This weapon is unloaded. Sports. Sports is used for when we have a malfunction. If I'm shooting an automatic pistol and I have a malfunction, the first thing I'm going to say to myself is, sports! I'm going to slap up on the magazine because I could have accidentally pressed the magazine release button and the magazine is not set or sitting in properly the magazine well. I'm then going to pull the slide to the rear and check to see what's in there and make sure any trash or garbage that may have been in there is out. I'm going to then observe the chamber to make sure the chamber is clear, free from obstruction. Then I'm going to release the slide and chamber's another round. I'm going to take aim and squeeze the trigger. It tells me what to do. The second one, SRT, is an abbreviated version of what I just said. However, I do not agree with it. I do not approve of it. And since I said that, obviously it must be correct. Okay? SRT stands for slap, rack, tap. Let me go through the procedure. I'm slapping up on the magazine because it could have accidentally come loose. I'm going to rack the slide to the rear, and then I'm going to tap the trigger. Boom, it goes off. What, guys, do you recall was the most important thing that is missing from SRT? Any guys? Trey, you're sharp. I said sports. Slap, pull, observe, release, take aim, squeeze. SRT is slap, rack, tap.
Probably observe or take aim.
Observe. Here's the deal. Here's the problem with SRT. When I slap up on the magazine and rack it, I did not check to see if the chamber was clear. If the chamber's not clear, I can literally turn a easy malfunction into a double feed. And that's what causes a lot of problems. We do not want a double feed. So sports is the way to go. SRT, I totally disagree with. And all you people out there that use that one, I understand because it's quick and easy. But you're missing a key component, and the component is observation. Now, I have a lot of people say, well, what about revolvers? Well, there's not much that can go wrong with a revolver. But guess what? Sometimes something does go wrong with a revolver. You pull the trigger and nothing happens. This is where revolvers come in, and the acronym for the revolver is STAT. STAT. And it stands for squeeze trigger another time. That's all you got to do. Squeeze the trigger another time. You got 5 or 6, 7, depending on what kind of gun you got, rounds in that cylinder. If you pull the trigger and it does not go bang, squeeze trigger another time. No slapping up on the mag, none of this, none of that. It's going to work. Now, these acronyms are used when something jams your gun. It's a quick reference as to how to clear a malfunction and get your gun up and running again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, besides number 2, the SRT, these are mandatory to remember. Don't react to a malfunction. You want to respond to it. You want to respond to it with sports or stat. Sports or stat. Okay. Now, let's get back to the chief here. Chief, we were talking on the break about Halloween coming up, and Trey, you brought up a great idea about going over Halloween safety tips and things maybe we shouldn't be doing, like tying garbage cans together and stuff like that. So, Chief, I want to bring it back to you. I want to give you the mic here. Let's talk about what we can do for this upcoming Halloween to be safe and happy.
All right, everybody. You know, Halloween is one of those times when everybody has a lot of fun. I know that back when my children were younger, we used to really do things in the yard, decorate things in the yard. And next week, what I'll do is also, I'll do my whole show on Halloween safety, but just a couple of tips today about it. Number one, make plans ahead of time. Don't wait till the last minute about where you're going to go. You know, Cameron goes way out on Halloween. You have a lot of people here that decorate their yards, and to me it's almost as big as a Christmas decorating time of the year. We have a lot of people out. If you go to one certain area of town, which I won't mention, but if you go to one area of town, I mean, it's blocks and blocks backed up with nothing but people riding trailers, walking, and it is a good time. A lot of people do enjoy Halloween. But number one, you got to be safe. You got to have costumes that are going to fit you. You got to know what you're doing. You got to know where you're going. It's going to be dark. There's no doubt when people go out trick or treating on Monday the 31st, which is the official Halloween. Some people have called down to say, "Are we going to do it Saturday night or Sunday night?" No, Halloween is on the 31st of October, and that's going to be Monday night. And it is a school day the next day for kids, so good luck, teachers. But the thing that we need to do is we need to make sure our kids are supervised. Walk with them, make sure they know where you're at, make sure they don't get lost, have their outfits, light and color, have them carry either a flashlight or a glow stick that you can get at the dollar store, someplace like that. I'm going to ask a favor, too, this year, and I hope you all understand where I'm coming from on this. There's a lot of costumes kids can wear, but I hope this year that everybody will refrain from wearing clown costumes. There's a lot of people out there that are still really, really touchy about the clowns and about the outfits of clowns. You know, and it's why press it's what my question is. Why press it? You know, there's I know our bigger kids, especially our teenagers, a lot of times they'll do it just to. And that's I'm going to leave it at that. But, you know, clowns outfits right now are not a good thing to wear. They're not a good thing to put on. And if you're going to carry something that resembles a firearm, make sure it's a red tip. Make sure it is very obvious it's not a firearm of any kind. So it's just a couple of quick things. You know, make sure if you're going to give candy away, you give wrapped candy away. And what I do is I do believe that we're better off if we find something that's sealed and hermetically sealed so that the kids don't have a chance to open it till they get home and the parents can check the candy. There's a couple of things. Matt, you and Trey have anything to add to that?
I have a lot to add, but there's just not enough time. It's not the same as it used to be. I remember you could just go to door-to-door. But I'm originally from New York. And up there, it was safe. It was fun. It was, every now and then you have incidents, of course. But you just got to just be careful what you're doing. Be alert and aware. And there's just a lot of crazy people out there. So you got to keep your eye on your kids. They would just let us go out and go door-to-door. They say, okay, I'll be back by 9 when it's dark. But now it's like, my gosh, the kid goes from door to door. You're like, are they going to get picked up by somebody? Are they going to get harassed? Are they going to get hurt, robbed, whatever? There's so many different things, but you just got to be aware and alert. And it's not the Halloween's like yesteryear.
It's not. And, you know, one of the things, you hit on something that's really important. You know, Halloween is supposed to be a time. We're supposed to be dealing with the treats, not the trick. I know in the last couple of years, we've had some kids here in town that have gotten out after hours because it was when Halloween was on the weekend the last few years. But they'd go and stock up on eggs or stock up on toilet tissue, and they'd do some things that most people just don't appreciate. And I'm going to tell you right now, we will be watching. We're sending letters out to all of our businesses that are going to call us if people buy a large quantity of eggs. And we're going to file charges. I don't know about you, but an egg hits a car, and that egg stays on a car for a while and dries. It's going to take the paint off. It's going to take the clear coat off, and it's a we're talking about a serious situation now.
You know, Chief, it seems too the social environment, the way people are now. And I'm not saying this to everybody. I'm just saying there's a lot of people out there. There's a code or an ethic that is lacking. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, in general, the code and ethics was respect one another and all this. Help, like you're always saying, watch your neighbors. But now it's not that way a lot. A lot of people are very little islands and private, and things are going crazy. And what happens is, in my opinion, you have to put the hammer down and stop it because it's getting out of control. I do not agree with intervention, unnecessary intervention of government, law enforcement, so on and so forth. But when you get to a critical mass and it gets to a point where things are getting out of control, it needs to be temporarily nailed down, get our morals and ethics back into shape, and then let's start the cycle again. I don't want restrictions from anybody or government over. I hate it. I'm opposed to it. But sometimes, a perfect example would be like when Trump says he wants to stop immigration of certain types of people just temporarily, just to see what's going on. That's kind of where we got. I think people are coming like crazy, and we're having chaos going on from people who aren't checked and causing crime. So that's the analogy I'm using to give an example as people, they just need to be careful what they do because the law will come down and say, hey, you can't do that. You got to stop. You got to respect your neighbor.
And there's a way to get around that. I'll be honest with you. There's a way to keep law enforcement not involved with your kids, and it's simply you get involved with your kids.
Yeah,
that's all it is. It's you get involved with them. You know if your kids are going to be out doing things they shouldn't be doing. You know, you've got a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old son, grandson, and they're going to go out at 9 o'clock at night with a bunch of them together. You can tell me all day long they're just going out to have fun. You know that when that many kids get out and they're out for a certain time, like Halloween night, somebody is going to recommend something that's not going to be real pertinent to them. If the parents will step up, do what they're supposed to do, then they'll never hear from the police department. But I'm going to get on my high horse here for a minute. And then, Trey, I know you got something to add to it. But I'm going to get on my high horse in a minute, folks. I can't tell you how many times that my police officers, myself, have had to talk to people about their kids when they've been in trouble. And you know what? It's not the kids they're mad at. They're mad at us for finding their kids doing something. And I tell you what, that frustrates me because we're doing our job, and somewhere along the line, parents need to do their job. If their kids get out, act like heathens or they act like idiots, it's time that they be called to task for it. It's not the police department's fault that they did it. The police officers didn't make them do it. The kids did it, and the young adults did it. So, and that's kind of the only high horse you'll hear me get on.
You know, just take an interest in your kids, folks. Really. I got two preteen children. We took them trick-or-treating last year, and it was fantastic. And we went with a group of family, my nieces and cousins and all. And we had a fantastic time. And we weren't the only family group out there doing it. So there are people who do take interest in their kids.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. You're exactly right, Trey.
You know, the police, everybody associates to protect and serve with the police. Everybody knows that phrase, right? It's not to protect, to serve, and to raise your children. They're so busy trying to do that. How are they able to do the job that we actually want them to do?
You know, this show here is a gun show. It's a prepper show. This is a perfect illustration of prepping. Prep your children for the
future.
Exactly
right.
My boys, when they were growing up, they feared me. And because they feared me, they loved me, don't get me wrong. But they knew when I said something, I can't turn back. When I say it, I'm very careful what I say because I don't want to have to actually do it because it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt them, you know. But it worked. I got two great boys, and they do a great job. So,
and you want them to be able to rely on you. If you say that this is going to be a consequence of your action, and then you have to follow up with it so that when you tell them, hey, you can trust me to look out for you, you can trust me to have your back, they'll be able to trust you to have their back because
right.
They know you're going to do what you say.
They can open up and talk to you the truth. They don't have to hide anything. They come to you to give the details.
And communication, folks, please
talk
to your kids. But remember, they're your kids. They're not your friends.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I love my children. And my daughter was, my girl. She's very much daddy's girl. And, you know, she'll tell me, daddy, you're my best friend. And I'll tell her, I love you, sweetheart. But and she knows, though, that when I tell her something, I'm telling her because I feel it's the best thing for her to be safe, the best thing for her to be healthy, the best thing for her to be happy, because that's my responsibility. It's, you know, it's my privilege too, but that's my responsibility as a dad. As a parent, it's our responsibility to see that our kids learn how to behave, learn how to keep themselves out of trouble, make good decisions. Teach them how to do that.
You said, I didn't mean to cut you off, G, but you said something that just jarred something. There's communication. The communication process is very important. And you said something. I'm just going to take a piece of it. You got to be able to understand and listen and know exactly what they're saying. Because sometimes somebody could say something to somebody and they take it one way. And in reality, it's nowhere close to what happened. And then from that point in time, the conversation just goes south fast. And so then you got to try to reevaluate, get over emotions and all this kind of stuff. When in reality, the genuineness of thought was there, but it was just misinterpreted. So you got to be careful on your thought process. And I'm sure I do that. I'm sure you do that. So just got to work through it and see how it can happen. But it's especially important with kids.
Yeah, right. Communication has to be a habit. It can't be something you just try once and expect it to be right. You got to make it a habit.
And I'd like to chime in on that just a little bit. You know, and you said something a minute ago, Trey, that I've said this on this show, and I say it every day. There's a fine line between friendship and parenting. I want my kids to... I think my sons and I, we are best friends. But you know what? My first priority is not friendship. My first priority was raising my boys. Now, and it's ironic we're talking about this, because just about 45 minutes ago, I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and we were talking about, you know, the time we spend with our children. Well, you know, when my kids were younger, growing up through elementary and school, it was a hard time back then. I worked two or three jobs just to try to make ends meet so we could have a house. Police departments back then, kind of like today, don't pay a whole lot. And, you know, I missed a lot of things. I missed untold numbers of baseball games, untold numbers of PTO, PTA meetings, and things like that. But you know what? When my kids needed me, I would be there for them. And that's the key. Don't get so busy with your life today that you don't have time for your kids. Because, and I know this is talking about Halloween safety, but that's what a Halloween safety is. If you direct them the right direction now, then on Halloween night, you don't have to worry about them getting eggs and throwing it at some neighbor's house, or throwing some, or taking toilet paper and wrapping somebody's trees that they don't know. Back then, when we wrapped somebody's trees, it was a girlfriend that was trying to get to like us. And then we ended up going to help them clean it up. But it's not like that anymore.
You know, I gnash my teeth many times for things that I regret that I've done, even after people tell me, don't do this. When we say your kids will grow up very fast, they grow up extremely fast. Spend the time with them. What you're doing is not as important as those kids. And to spend every moment you can with them so you don't gnash your teeth. And other things, too. I mean, listen to the best you can. The good leader always listens to his advisors. The leader makes the final decision, but a good leader gets the information and then sifts through it and figures out the game plan. But look, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start to wrap this up. I've got a few other things I've got to say here. Next Saturday at the Bell County Expo Center will be the Real Gun Show. I will be there live Saturday from 10 to noon. We'll be having our booth set up there. I'll be having the bar all set up for simulated appearance so you can all see how it works. If you have any parties, birthdays, corporate events, and you want to have a professional bartender there who can help to support you, take the stress off of you, you get to see the whole bar set up, ask me questions, so on and so forth. Also, we'll have flyers out there for our upcoming home and self-defense training seminar, and that's on the 5th of November. And what's going to go on with that one will be mindset and philosophy, gun safety and handling. We'll be doing reloads, you know, empty and tactical, weak hand reloads, point shooting, drawing from concealment, handgun round robins, weak hand shooting, room clearing. We'll be doing all sorts of good stuff. So you want to check that out, go to Aaron's High Cap Adventure. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page and check it out there. And you can sign up there if you like. Also on the 12th of November, which is the Saturday after that, I've got a license to carry class. Starts at 2 o'clock, $60. And for anybody who already has their license and wants to do a refresher course, I'm only charging $40. So give us an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go to the license to carry page at aaronsgunshop.com. And you can sign up there too. So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to wrap it up a little short here. You can play one of my favorite songs, Trey, as we close it out before the news, I guess, is coming up. And
30 seconds.
Yeah, hold on one second. Chief, we want Chief, you got a few more words?
Yeah, just one thing, a quick 30 seconds. Folks, some of you know that we've moved into a new police station. Well, we've got a lot of hallways, and some of you out there that might have some type of a Western art or some type of early American art that could hang on the wall, we'd sure be happy to hang on the walls if you got something you'd like to donate. Some type of picture of cowboys or something Western. We'd love to have a painting that might be donated by you put on our walls. So if you do, give me a call at the police department.
Sounds great. How about gun posters?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see what I got. All right. Yeah, I've got a couple of those. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure as always. I look forward to next week and talking to you live. If you have any questions, again, feel free to give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Until that time, keep your powder dry and God bless.